Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a jungle chop in Ableton Live 12 and give it macro controls that actually do something musical. The goal is not just to make the break sound more processed. The goal is to make it behave like part of the arrangement, so you can move from tight roller energy to ragged jungle chaos without rebuilding the clip every time. This is a huge move in drum and bass, because the drums can't just sit there and loop at 170 BPM and up. The groove needs constant little shifts to stay alive, so we're going to turn one break into a performance-ready rack, then use macros to control density, filtering, dirt, fills, and width in a way that supports the bass line instead of fighting it. First, choose a break you trust, an amen, a think break, a funky drummer fragment, anything with a strong pocket and some ghost notes will work well. Drag it into an audio track and listen before you start chopping. If it already feels good, don't over-edit it. The whole point is to preserve the character. Set the warp mode carefully if needed, but for this style, you usually want to keep the punch intact. Beats mode often works well because it respects the transients. Complex Pro is there if you really need it, but don't default to it unless the audio demands it. Now identify the musical moments in the break. Find the kick hits, the snare hits, and the tiny ghost notes that give it swing. Then make the edit intentional. Instead of leaving it as one flat loop, split it into phrase-sized chunks. Think in terms of a kick-heavy first half, a snare-driven second half, and maybe a little fill at the end of the bar or the end of the second bar. That way, your macros will later control real musical choices, not just random movement. Next, let's build the rack-based workflow. The easiest path in Ableton is to slice the break to a MIDI track. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by transients if the break is busy, or by rhythmic values if you want a more structured layout. Once that's done, you've got playable slices on pads, which means you can program a proper jungle phrase instead of just copying audio around. Now keep the pattern simple at first. Lay in the backbone. Get the kick and snare relationship working. Add ghost notes only where they help the groove. Leave space for the bass. That last part matters a lot in DNB. If the bass line is already busy, the chop should be the thing that breathes around it, not another layer trying to dominate the same frequency space. Now for the fun part. Routing. Group the chop into an audio effect rack so we can create multiple chains with different jobs. Think of each chain as a different edit personality. You're not just making versions of the same break. You're building lanes that can be blended depending on the moment in the track. A really useful setup is three chains. The first chain is your dry, punchy lane. The second chain is your filtered, moving lane. The third chain is your dirty, fill-heavy lane. On the clean chain, keep it simple with EQ and maybe a light glue compressor to keep the hits together. On the filtered chain, use auto-filter, maybe a little beat repeat, maybe a touch of chorus or phaser if you want motion. On the dirty chain, push saturator, drum bus, maybe redux or erosion if you want more grit and attitude. The important thing is contrast. Each chain needs a clear purpose. The clean lane should feel front-loaded and solid. The filtered lane should feel like it's breathing or opening up. The dirty lane should feel like the moment where the edit gets dangerous. If every chain sounds almost the same, the macros won't feel meaningful. Now map your macros. This is where the rack becomes an instrument instead of just a processing chain. A good starting point is one macro for break density, one for filter open, one for dirt, one for tail, one for fill throw, and one for stereo width if you want extra polish. Break density can control the balance between your chains, so you can move from sparse and controlled to more layered and active. Filter open can drive the cutoff on the filtered and dirty chains. Dirt can push saturation or drum bus drive, but keep the range musical. Don't crush the break into mush. Tail can control reverb or decay on selected hits, especially the last snare before a transition. Fill throw can bring in beat repeat only when you need that punchy turnaround moment. And width should stay controlled, because you never want to smear your low end. If you widen anything, widen the upper texture, not the sub or the main punch. A really useful teacher trick here is to think in one macro, one question. Ask yourself, what does this knob actually mean musically? More punch, more motion, more space, more chaos. If one macro tries to do all four, the rack gets muddy fast. Better to keep each control honest. Now let's shape the arrangement. During the main groove, keep the clean chain dominant. That gives you a strong, readable core. In the second bar of the phrase, bring in a little bit of the filtered lane to add movement. Then, right before a bass change or a new phrase, push the dirty fill lane for a snare rush, glitch moment, or little burst of energy. That call and response structure is what makes the drums feel alive in a DNB arrangement. For example, in bars 1 and 2 of a drop, You might keep the dirty chain basically off and let the dry lane carry the groove. Then, in bars 3 and 4, open the filter a little and introduce a hint of dirt. By the time you reach the end of the phrase, bring in the fill throw just for the final half bar. That gives you a strong sense of momentum without turning the whole section into a constant effect. And that's the key. In drum and bass, effects hit harder when they're used like punctuation. If your bass line is busy, especially if it's a Reese or a Neuro-style low-mid pattern, the chop should step back a little. That means keep the break tighter and cleaner while the bass is active, then open things up when the bass leaves a gap. The best edits often happen in the negative space. If the bass answers on one beat, let the drums answer on the next. That's how you get a proper conversation between the low end and the break. Beat repeat can be really powerful here, but only if you treat it like an accent tool. Put it on the dirty or fill chain and keep the settings restrained. Use a narrow grid, keep the chance low to moderate, and keep the dry slash wet under control. You want it to appear like a moment of excitement, not a permanent texture. If you leave it on all the time, the effect loses its impact. In DNB, repeated glitches are best used on phrase endings, before a drop return, or as a one-bar turnaround into a new section. Now let's talk about mixed discipline, because jungle chops can get messy fast. Once you've got multiple chains and macros moving around, check the low end carefully. If needed, high-pass the texture chain so it doesn't clutter the kick and sub area. Keep the main punch lane strong and centered. If the chop gets too harsh, gently cut some bite in the upper mids rather than flattening the whole break. And if you widen anything, always check it in mono. A macro system should enhance the edit, not make it wobble all over the stereo field. Another good habit is to make the default state intentionally boring. That might sound weird, but it works. Your cleanest, most usable chop should be the baseline. Then every macro move feels like a real decision. If the default already sounds overcooked, you've got nowhere to go when the arrangement needs to build. When you start automating, think like a performer. Don't draw movement everywhere. Use the macros with phrase logic. Open the filter over one or two bars before a drop. Bring in the fill throw only on the last half bar. Increase dirt slightly every second 8-bar phrase to raise pressure. Pull the density down in a breakdown so the vocal, atmosphere, or bass switch has room to breathe. That's how the rack starts acting like arrangement automation instead of just a cool sound design trick. A strong DNB structure might look like this. An intro with a filtered, low-density chop, then a drop with a dry punchy core, then a B section with more fills and motion, then a breakdown where you strip the break back to ghosts or texture, and then a second drop that comes back wider, dirtier, and more aggressive. You're not just changing tone, you're changing energy across the track. If you want to go further, try making one macro that controls several things at once, but keep the range different for each target. For example, an energy macro could raise chain volume a little, open the filter a bit more, and add a touch of saturation only on the top mid layer. That creates one unified musical gesture instead of three disconnected movements. It feels much more natural when spoken by the arrangement. And one more thing. Always check your rack in context. A chain might sound huge in solo and still be wrong once the bass and atmospheres come in. Keep toggling between isolated and full mix listening. The edit has to survive the whole track, not just the moment you're building right now. For a quick practice pass, pick one 2-bar break and make a 3-chain rock. Clean, filtered, and dirty. Map density, filter open, dirt, and fill throw. Program a 4-bar phrase where the first 2 bars stay tight, the 3rd bar opens slightly, and the 4th bar gets a fill at the end. Then automate one macro across those 4 bars and bounce it to audio. Compare it to the raw break. You should hear the difference immediately. The new version should feel like it's performing, not just looping. So the big takeaway is this. Build your jungle chop inside a rack, give each route a job, map macros to musical ideas, and automate them by phrase. Keep the low end clean, keep the transients sharp, and use movement with purpose. If the break feels like it's reacting to the track instead of sitting on top of it, you've nailed it. All right, let's get into Ableton and make that break move.